5 locations, with a 6th now open in Chattahee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Mitch. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Is this your first visit to Brooklyn?
It is. Well, not to Brooklyn, but
I mean the
building
rink.
It is.
Yeah,
to the building it is, and they're still feeling it out here. There's no question about it. They're still figuring it out. The building's beautiful. I'll give them that, but they've got some figuring out to do in terms of logistics with hockey. But I'm sure they'll figure it out over time.
Now, does NBC have enough clout to get rid of that car for the night in the corner of the rink?
No, I'm standing right next to the car right now. I am not kidding you. It's a white Honda.
So growing up on the mean streets of Mont-Tremblant, you must have learned how to hotwire a car.
No. That's well said. Uh-oh, now we have the anthem singer warming up here.
So what is Doc Emrick going to do? Has he figured out where he's going to call this game tonight?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at it before. Doc will be basically in the crowd with Eddie Olchuk. There was no press box built for hockey here. So they'll basically be sitting in the stands. Remember the old Continental Airlines Arena in New Jersey where they had good portions of the between the blue lines of seats pulled out and there was a press box there? That's basically what they'll be doing here tonight. So kind of like Continental Airlines Arena in New Jersey.
Yeah, that a lot of historic moments took place, and they'd have a camera shot of the guys doing the game, and it was basically a little table set up in the crowd.
Right. And that's what Doc and Eddie will be doing tonight. It'll be interesting, obviously, because it's Rangers Islanders, and mayhem can happen at any time. So they're not used to working without a net or a roof over their head. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
All right, here last night in the Mecca of hockey, Michel Therrien won his 700th game, and so much went on. I want to play a clip because I don't know if you would have heard it by now. There was a lot of post-game finger-pointing for Nathan Beaulieu not leaving the ice immediately after he was dinged by Nick Foligno in the fight. There were 50 seconds left in the period. He went to the box, went through the protocol afterwards, came back, and was one of the better players on the ice in the third period. You heard him today. He's fine. Here's Michel Therrien today.
Most of the media who follow the team understand and they know about, you could have discussion about trade, line change. That's part of the culture in Montreal. It gives a lot of time, good TV shows and good radio shows, and we truly understand that. But where I'm having a little bit of a hard time is when they question the integrity of our people about safety of the players. When they question about the integrity of our medical staff regarding the decision that they take regarding our players, and I'm having a hard time with that a little bit.
He expanded on a little more, but you get the gist of what he was feeling today.
Well, you and I have talked about it a lot. Dr. Mulder is someone that everybody in the league holds in such high esteem and respect. And Graham Reinbend's the same in terms of professional trainers around the league and medical trainers. He's revered as one of the top guys in the league. So I'm with Michel. You've heard me talk about this many times. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know. I was working in a game last night that was extremely intense in Chicago. Had a really tough travel day today, so I didn't have a normal work day where I could put in a lot of time breaking things down from around the league. But I would agree with everything Michel Therrien just said. To question the medical staff of the Montreal Canadiens, fair. But to formulate opinion on them, I don't think is fair, because they are, I'm telling you, if you think you got problems in Montreal, most teams would love to have your problems. These are two of the better medical people in the league in terms of Dr. Mulder and Graham Reinbend.
I think there is certainly a heightened sensitivity to this, as there should be. And we had the situation with Dale Weiss a couple of springs ago when he shouldn't have come back, and they got caught with that. So I think that's where maybe there's some lingering doubt.
Right.
But sometimes a guy gets punched in the head, goes down, and suffers a black eye, and that's it. And I don't understand. Like, I am in no position. We all saw the same thing. You heard Dan Robertson say it didn't look good. It didn't look good. But just because it doesn't look good doesn't necessarily mean it's a concussion. You would think
all that is true. I'm totally with you, and I agree with that. I've been punched in the head a few times. Sometimes I've been hurt. Other times I've had black eyes. But you kind of know. It can look worse than it is, or sometimes it doesn't look that bad, and it is bad. It depends on a lot of different things. That's, you know, one of the key things when you look at it. But I'm just totally in respect mode for the Canadiens' medical situation and the way their team is run. So you will never hear me question anything about what they do, because I know they put their players on top of anything in terms of making sure they're healthy and ready to play.
Now, obviously, I wasn't in the room with the coach last night, but I'm guessing, Pierre, some of the line of questioning surrounded the uncertainty about the concussion protocol and who initiates it and what kind of protocol takes effect, when, does the league enforce it, is it up to the team, does the player have to self-report? I'm thinking it could be that, where there's just a lot of uncertainty around it from the media's point of view.
There's a concussion spotter at every game. And the concussion spotter didn't have an issue. Never, as far as what I've been told, never informed the Canadiens that there was an issue. So that's one of the reasons why there was nothing instantaneous. And again, you've heard us, Mitch and I, Rod, talk about it a lot. There has to be a trust factor between the trainers and the players and the coaches. Because there's some players, even when they're hurt and hurt badly, they'll never say they're hurt. And that's when the trainer has to go to the coach and say, listen, I know you need this guy, but you got to save him from himself. He's hurt. He's doing more damage to himself than he knows, and you got to save him from himself. That has to happen sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
I think, Pierre, why Coach Therrien was so annoyed in his press conference yesterday is because he's trying to explain that, well, he's the coach, and I understand he's the figurehead for the team. He's speaking on behalf of the hockey team, but he's trying to relay the message that he's not the doctor. He's coaching the hockey team.
Well, absolutely. He's not a doctor, and none of us are. That coach, I don't know of any medical doctors in the National Hockey League coaching. So, no, I would agree with that. And that's why, again, there has to be the trust factor with your medical staff, and in particular with the trainer, who's more hands-on than anybody else because he's right there with the player.
In the meantime, as I mentioned, it was his 700th game as a head coach in the National Hockey League. Today, even though he was dropped, Devontae Smith-Pelly did not have a great game. Therrien recognized that early. He flip-flopped Desharnais and Thomas Plekanec, and it worked again. Again, a Michel Therrien in-game adjustment with his bench management worked. They won the game with Desharnais, Weiss, and Pacioretty on that late power play. Smith-Pelly got 9 minutes of ice time today after practice.
I mean, I've only had a couple coaches, but... You know, his the structure and the way he gets guys ready to play, it's amazing. I mean, you see when we're on our game and when we're doing what he asks, we're a tough team to beat. So his structure and the way he prepares us is real great, and I noticed that from day one.
You would think that a guy who has been able to last 700 games and counting would learn how to adjust over the years, and he certainly has.
I think he's one of the most improved coaches in the National Hockey League. I don't think he was that good early on in his career. I think it was more about intimidation and trying to get guys in the old school of saying, if you don't play for me, you're never going to play, and being more of a tough guy. But now he's understood the structural part. You heard Devontae Smith-Pelly talk about it. He's understood the importance of matching. You've heard that from a lot of different coaches around the league. His practices are much better in terms of structure. I watched them. I liked them. And I personally think he communicates better with his players. And I think you learn that over time. I really do. And again, one of the things that I really like about Michel is the fact that he's got a real good resource, at least he used to. Obviously, Jacques working for Toronto now as a consultant. But I think Jacques Lemaire really helped Michel Therrien over time, and you can see it. There's a lot of Jacques Lemaire. Jacques Lemaire's approach and how Michel does things. So, no, I think he's done fantastic work there. He's to be commended, not slapped down.
The well-prepared part, that's something that I've heard a lot over the last couple of years, talking to different people, you know, scouts, executives from other teams that come into the Bell Center, I pick their brains, as you know, and that's part of our job. And it's amazing how they all say the same thing. I mean, no team looks forward to playing the Montreal Canadiens. They look forward to playing in the Bell Center, but as soon as the puck is dropped, they know how tough an assignment it is.
Yeah, no, it's not an easy one. Nobody wants to play against them because, as we've talked about before, their ability to squeeze the life out of a game makes it really difficult, especially if they get the lead. So that's one of the things that, makes it tough, because they do have the structure. They are prepared. They know the right matchups. They do have a lot of team speed. They can control the tempo of a game because of the defensemen they have, especially with PK and Andre. So, hey, listen, I don't know any other way to say it except to say this. The Canadiens are for real. Their coach is very good. The manager's outstanding. The ownership's as good as there is in the league. And the team's on its way. We talked about it yesterday. You asked me, what kind of game do you expect? A really tight, tough game. And you better not fall behind against that team, because if you do, you're going to be in trouble. And I think that's basically what you had.
Last night in Ottawa.
Draw won by Smith as Zibanejad got buried off the draw by Gudas as Zibanejad slow to get to his feet.
He certainly is, and he's going to head right to the benches. I wonder if that's going to be looked at by the concussion specialist, because, man, he will see Ratko Gudas finish his check here on Mika Zibanejad as he takes it from forehand to backhand, and, yeah, that's a forearm shiver.
Perfectly described by Jamie McLennan there with Gord Miller, forearm shiver. Three-game suspension this afternoon for Gudas.
I just saw it. I saw it about 20 minutes ago with Doc Emmerich here, because my travel has been ridiculous today. But anyways, I just saw the play. Three games. If I were the Philadelphia Flyers, I'd be like, really? That got three games? When you look at what Zach Rinaldo did to Sean Couturier at the beginning of the season? I think the league is starting to really clamp down on this. So after seeing it, I totally understand why there would be a three-game suspension. But it begs the question, and I'm sure Ron Hextall asked it, if that's worth three games to a player who's never been suspended before, how come there was nothing to Zach Rinaldo for his hit on Sean Couturier?
Well, it's better to learn from your mistakes than to pretend they never happen, right?
Well, you would hope. But I would say that hit from last night, having seen it, like I said, about 20 minutes ago for the first time, that merited a suspension. And so it's three games. And this is now, this should be a measuring point for everybody in the league to know. If the initial blow, like when you strike a player, the initial blow is to their head area, especially with a forearm or an elbow, you're going to be in trouble. And I hope they stay with that.
In the meantime, Pierre, the Flyers are starting to roll a little bit here, and no coincidence that Wayne Simmonds has started to put the puck in the net.
Wayne's playing great. I think they had a galvanizing moment when Luke Shen fought McElrath on Saturday afternoon at MSG after McElrath ran right over Nick Schultz and really hurt him, brought their team together. You can see they're starting to figure it out. Shane Gostisbehere has been outstanding for them since being recalled from the American Hockey League. What I would tell everybody is the Flyers probably will not make the playoffs this year, but I think they'll push for a last spot in the East. But what I would warn everybody is next year I think they're going to be really good, because they've got so much ammunition coming in Samuel Morin, in Travis Sanheim, in Ivan Prokhorov. You're seeing Gostisbehere now. They've got a lot of ammunition coming on defense, a ton.
And the game that you were at last night between Chicago and Minnesota, we talked about Ryan Suter being unhappy publicly. Man, when a veteran is squawking like that, you always look to see how he plays his next game, and he won the game for them.
Oh, man, was he good. He was outstanding. And everything that he talked about in terms of what was being reported, it played off to the hilt. Putting a right-hand shot on defense rather than playing a lefty on the offside. The winning goal was created by a really good play by Jared Spurgeon, a right-hand shot. I showed the video. I don't know how much of our game you watched, Mitch, but I showed the tape of how much more efficiently Minnesota was coming out of their own zone because they had guys playing on their strong sides, not so much with the offside, and they were breaking down the Chicago forecheck. Parise was really good in that game. That was his third game back after missing seven. Suter was outstanding, off the charts good. Scandella was a force in the back end, but the guy that played the best, I thought, to really save the form was Devan Dubnyk. Dubnyk was outstanding in goal. Probably the best game he played all year.
Turnover Canucks in the zone to the net. Carter to Kopitar. Score!
Anze Kopitar winning it for the Kings last night. It looks like he is about to sign, finally, that elusive right. Long-term contract, which leaves Steven Stamkos.
Well, again, that could be a measuring stick. I think they're different players. Steven is more of a pure scorer. I don't think Anze will ever get to Stamkos' scoring numbers. but I don't think Steven will be as good in terms of being a 200-foot player. But they're similar in terms of dollar value and their value to the team. It should be interesting to see how it plays out. Obviously, Tampa's out on the coast right now. They're playing Anaheim tonight. That'll be fun to watch. I don't know. I mean, I got to think at some point Tampa and Steven Stamkos and Donnie Mean are going to be able to get a deal done. And if not, then it's going to be a problem around the Tampa Bay Lightning for the rest of the year if they can't get a deal done.
Pierre, Penguins win in San Jose for the first time in a very long time. And again, front and center was Gino Malkin on a tear since he was talking about the team not really getting along.
Mad at each other
and scored another highlight reel goal. Like, it seems like every night you turn on the highlight pack and there's Malkin scoring a ridiculous goal. Why is his game at another level all of a sudden?
He's intense. He's playing intense. He's tired of getting sand kicked in his face. There's nothing wrong with that. I like that. I like that quality about him. I don't know if I ever shared this with you guys before, but after the Americans beat the Russians in Sochi in the shootout, the magic of TJ Oshie and the goaltending, obviously, of Jonathan Quick. All the Russians were upset. They were. But nobody was as upset as Malkin. I really thought he was going to physically break down on the ice. He was just devastated. I felt terrible for the guy. Nobody should ever have to feel the way he did, but obviously he felt that way. And he's an emotional guy, and he cares passionately about being a good player and about winning.
20 years ago tonight, Pierre, were you watching the game?
I was coaching in Ottawa, watching it in the coach's office. Yep.
And it was Scotty Bowman and oh man, they were putting on a display. They were putting on a clinic. It was so much fun to watch them while not realizing it was a bad night. It was a brutal night for a new rookie head coach.
Right.
And their future Hall of Fame goaltender, which would turn out to be his last game ever as a Montreal Canadian. And
right.
But you try to bury that because he came back and the jersey is retired, and as bad as it was for a long period of time, everything's okay now between Patrick Roy and the Canadiens. But that was the beginning of something special in Detroit. That was an amazing night. I'll never forget the talent on display at the Forum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Scotty had it going on. I mean, he was smart enough to recognize the greatness of the Russian Five and get them all together. And, the grind line with Malpe and Draper and McCarty and finding roles for all those people. And no, Scotty was masterful there in Detroit, and the team was tremendous for him. I think the biggest thing, when I think about it, there's a few takeaways from that game 20 years ago. One, Mario Tremblay not pulling Patty. Obviously, that was a little bit of a problem. Patty talking to Ronald Corey and the way he spoke with him. I'm not sure that ever happened to Ronald Corey before from a player at that time of a game or ever during a game. The way Mario stared at Patty after that was very strange. That was the intensity of that moment. Was just to watch it on TV was unbelievable. And then the fact that they traded him to Colorado, I would be willing to bet a lot of money, Mitch, that if that team had stayed in Quebec, Patrick Roy never would have ended up in Quebec ever. I don't think the Canes ever would have traded him there.
There was discussion that, as you know, you've heard it, that Serge Savard was talking to them about Stéphane Fissé and Owen Nolan.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they would have made the trade, but there was talk about that.
Right, right. There's a lot of talk. I mean, Quebec called me about trading Chris Pronger for Peter Forsberg. It was talk. It never amounted to anything.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Peter Forsberg for Chris Pronger, that's like, man, that's like Ted Williams for Joe DiMaggio.
That was back when
Frank Mahovlich for Bobby Hull.
Peter wasn't in the NHL yet, and Pronger had just been drafted. So, yeah, that was... But then it never amounted to anything. But I can tell you, you can ask Paul Holmgren. They talked to us a lot about getting Pronger up in Quebec.
Rangers and Brooklyn Islanders tonight in Brooklyn. Well, whatever,
what
you know.
What are you calling them?
Well, they're the Brooklyn Islanders. They will be
Brooklyn,
in time. Yeah,
Brooklyn Islanders. Yeah,
yeah, they will be in time, right?
Yeah, that. Well, I would think. This is, like I said, it's kind of a maiden voyage here for the hockey part. I'm sure the Canes hierarchy could probably tell you about their visit here, the first time they were here a couple weeks ago, but it's a little bit different, and it's going to take some time to iron out some of the glitches.
Look forward to watching it tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow prior to the Canadiens Capitals matchup here.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. I appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody.
Cap Capitals will be here on Thursday. That's going to be fun.
Pierre McGuire on TSN 690.